Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Vanderpump Villa has first-class luxury and world-class drama. Vanderpump Villa, a new reality show starring Lisa Vanderpump, just launched on Hulu. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside.
Meet the elite staff as they work, live, and play together 24/7 while dealing with rivalry, romance, and misadventures. As they try to provide once-in-a-lifetime experiences for their guests, the staff will need to meet Lisa's high standards. Not everyone has what it takes.
Watch new episodes of Vanderpump Villa every Monday, now on Hulu.
Great.
Great.
Hi. Great. Hi.
Hi.
From two different parts of California.
Wow. One of us is in SoCal and the other one's in NorCal, but not really. Like more.
Take
like,
a guess who.
Yeah. Guess who's where now.
Well, you're probably right.
I'm in Santa Cruz. Carrie's holding it down in Los Angeles.
Wow. I was just saying how, like, Santa Cruz is so, like, grungy, spooky, like, ghostly California. I love it. It's, yeah. Like, Victorian grunge, Victorian beach houses. It's so cool.
Yeah, it's a really grungy beach vibe. And then there are lots of deadheads in the area, too.
Oh, right. Do you feel like kind of at home?
I feel like I have like a good community here brewing. There was a guy wandered into some tie-dye store downtown, and it was just like one guy who owns a tie-dye store that he tie-dyes everything in the store by hand.
And hell yeah.
He has tie-dye workshops, and he's just an old head. And he was like, now I have a store.
Were you guys like talking about shows you've seen?
Yeah, he's like, I love like old crusty deadheads because you like give them a prompt and then they'll talk for an hour.
Right.
And so it's almost like an improv class or something.
When did you get into the Grateful Dead?
In high school.
Damn. So you've been in it for a minute.
I've been in it for a minute, but I would say things really changed in 2015 when I went to go see the Fare Thee Well tour that they did. They did three concerts in a row to celebrate like the 50th anniversary of the band.
Did you go to all of them?
Yeah, I went three nights in a row. And that's when I became like a true head, in my opinion. Before I was like a spectator dipping my toe in the water, enjoying, but like that really turned me.
Damn, that feels like almost like indoctrination.
It was. Things changed for me after that.
Was it just like hours and hours of Grateful Dead?
It's like 12 hours of live music total.
That is crazy. Mm-hmm. Was everyone like on another level?
Everyone was on another level. I was like continually spinning off the planet from like various combinations of hallucinogens. And it was a journey.
Yeah, I always. So is it like people doing shrooms or is it like weed or...
There's a lot of different
things. What is it mostly?
I'd say it's mostly pot and alcohol. Mm-hmm. And then, I mean, you have a lot of different types of deadhead fan that goes to the shows. You have some like, right. Just like old crusty dudes that like love to smoke weed. You have like people that have really like gone off the cliff with acid. And like you have people that are just like spinners. They just spin around and around and around and around in the corners. Like you kind of see all walks of life. There's randomly like lots of people, like white dreadlocks are pretty prolific. Mm. And then there's like wooks.
That's a little place of Nunca for me.
It's a total place of Nunca, but they really make themselves known. It's the one right. community that like accepts and doesn't question a white dreadlock. And then there are a lot, That's there's good. A whole factor of like wooks that are basically just like white, homeless, dreadlocked dudes and their girlfriends who may or may not also have white dreadlocks. And I am still wondering how these people manage to pay to get into shows or like make their way, like travel.
Yeah.
It's bizarre. Like, I don't understand. Like,
I always wanted to know that too.
Yeah. People that should be like living in a tent under a freeway somewhere manage to scrape together enough money to like end up at the Gorge somehow. And I'm like, how did you do this?
Where there's a will, there's a way.
There is. And so that just goes to show you, just pick yourself up by your bootstrap. I'm like, you could like aim a little higher and the world is yours, sir.
Oh my God. I was talking about, for some reason, Grateful Dead came up in a conversation the other day and I said Andy Garcia instead of Jerry Garcia. And then I thought about the movie Book Club and how we were talking about how hot. We were talking about how hot he was in that movie.
He's
just like
so
plowing
hot.
Diane Keaton in like Sedona and how we wanted that.
Just like literally drop me from an airplane over Sedona.
And he's there.
I'll pull the chute. I'll land in his backyard and we'll be together forever.
Under a moon.
Under the moon and the stars that come out at night. We'll fuck in a vortex.
But I there was a period where whenever someone said Jerry Garcia, I just thought of Andy Garcia.
Oh, totally. There's like have you ever seen Half Baked?
I think so.
That's like one of my favorite comedies. It's so dumb. It's like really bad, like stoner humor, but it just makes me cry. And Jim Brewer plays a deadhead, pothead like character. And at one point he buys a little sat, like they make a lot of money like selling weed, and he buys a little satchel that's supposedly filled with Jerry Garcia's ashes. And they're like, who sold you that? And he's like, Barry Garcia, Jerry's brother. And like, and it just like truly kills me.
Oh my God. Yeah. My dad was a security guard one summer at his college in upstate New York. And I think he said they got word that like the Grateful Dead was rolling through for a concert in the town the college was in. So he said like over the week, just like hundreds and hundreds of deadheads just started pouring into this small town and that is like Hamilton, New York, to see the Grateful Dead. It was like my dad's, I think it was like his first brush with
like
the GD. No, he was, I mean, he'd experienced hippies. I think he might've been into them at the time, but he was just like, they just descended on our town. And it was, and he was like a security guard, like in quotes, like he was a student who basically was just like had a little badge, and he had to like, you know, make sure things weren't going too crazy. Like, I think, but he said it became like, it was like Woodstock or something.
It's its own traveling like city almost, because they set up shop, like they do like their own shakedown street where all the vendors like sell stuff. So there's like a outdoor marketplace that you can cruise around and buy shirts or crystals or drugs, and then you like pack it up and then everyone watches the show. Then you go back out and then there's like a party on Shakedown after the show. But that's always, I call it Shankdown Street afterwards, because it truly is like a dark scene.
Whoa.
It's like all nitrous balloons, and it's just like at nighttime after you've like tripped acid and had like a life altering experience, you don't want to see the real aftermath of that.
Oh, for sure.
I want to eat a grilled cheese and call it a night.
Yeah, call it a night. I remember I went like 3 years in a row to Dave Matthews.
Yes.
Because Dave came every summer to Camden, the Camden Waterfront in New Jersey and at the Tweeter Center. Now I think it's like the Wachovia Center. I forget, but site of also my last night of drinking when I went to see Josh Groban with my parents and blacked out. But
you've had some real highs and some real lows.
Had some real lows, but Dave was always a real low, and I didn't even like Dave Matthews, and I just went because everyone went to the lot, which is what they called the tailgate, like the parking lot.
The lot. We're all going to the lot.
All the high schoolers were on taking the speed line. They all had their backpacks full of beer and, you know, vodka and water bottles. And then we went into the lot, and like it was just everyone, all the high schools from all over the area were there, and you just like walked around and like talked to people, and people were making out, and they always had nitrous balloons. I remember doing like nitrous balloons one year and like crying because it was raining, and I was like,
no,
I know. I had a little drawstring bag on, and I was like running around being like, my mom thinks I'm gay, like telling my friends like. That my mom had, because she literally had just asked me like something about like, she was like, are you gonna see girls at the Dave concert? And I was like, girls that you know? And I was like, yeah, mom, maybe. And she was like, if you have something to tell me, like, you should tell me. And I was like, no. And then I like went to this concert, was like having like a breakdown over it, and my friends were like, oh my god. And like in between that, doing nitrous balloons, and then just passed out on the lawn inside.
It was a lot to deal with
for my friends. I think
for everyone involved, like, before a Dave Matthews Band concert is not the time to pressure your gay son to come out to you. Like, clearly he's off to a Dave Matthews Band concert. He's not in a place of reveal.
I know. It was, god bless my mom, she was just she was just trying to understand. But yeah, but Dave was always, and then like in high school, like, oh my god, just.
You were not cool unless you went to a Dave Matthews Band concert, right? In high school.
But I had the least chill of anyone at a Dave, like, I was so unchill at a Dave lot. Like, I was a place of nunca at age 16 through 20, and
were you,
it was
in
really
a place
bad.
Of woo, or just like a true place of nunca?
Starting out woo-woo, like, woo, and then ending with like, oh my god,
yeah,
like I can't feel my knees, you know. Like like I am floating through, like I am on so much nitrous right now, like I can't, and beer,
yeah,
that I can't even,
so much beer on. That was me, because I saw like Phil and Bob from the dead used to play together, and they would come to the Oklahoma City Zoo Amphitheater a lot. So those were like the first places that I saw any sort of like Grateful Dead-esque live shows. But I was like so fucked up during them. Like I would just take like handfuls of shrooms and then like basically like blackout, like be in a walking blackout. And like, so yeah, it took me a while before I really like tuned into the concert.
Yeah. And it was always like, I just have this memory of like couples, like high school couples that I knew that were like on the lawn. That's where everyone was on, you know, no one could afford like the nice seats. We were all in like the way back. It's just like a girl in front of a guy, and the guy has his arms around her, and they're just like swaying their little hips and dancing to like, do, 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 do.
That's doo, classic. Doo,
doo. And just like they're doing little twirls. And I was like, oh god, it's so hetero.
It's such a hetero scene.
It was. And oh my god, it was so funny though. Like, so much mono probably being passed around. Like,
so much mono.
Crazy.
Yeah, I never made it in high school to any Dave concerts because they happened in Dallas and I was in OKC's, and my mom just like wouldn't let me go. And then finally I got my moment in 2015 when they came to play at Irvine. And that was a really transformative night.
Oh, good.
Yeah. It was beautiful.
I can't believe my parents like paid. It was like, I think the tickets were like always like $100.
They're expensive.
Like, I can't believe they were like,
around.
Yeah. Like the fact that they were paying for me to go like do nitrous.
Yeah.
God bless them.
God bless parents.
Right.
Speaking of parents,
speaking
who
of
really
parents.
Need God's blessing.
Okay, so this episode of Ro and Jay is, I think, where the season's really starting to pick up.
This truly, the twists and turns, I could not comprehend. I was like, how did I just watch this show 10 years ago and just be like, oh my God, like, this is the craziest shit I've ever seen.
So Teresa becomes a new parent again for the fourth time. It starts with her like waking Joe up. She's like, Joe.
She's like, Joe, there's pressure. There's pressure. So we got to go. And she's like casually laboring. Like she's really not making a big deal out of it.
Not making a peep. She's tiptoeing through their like mausoleum home. She still has like, I think she has like little kitten heels on. And it's like 7 a.m. All her girls are asleep. And she's just gingerly like rousing Joe from his like meatball slumber.
Bear sleep. He just like he's refusing to go to the hospital.
Joe basically like every night sleeps in like a giant magnum of like Carlo Rossi wine and just like marinates in it. Like when he wakes up in the morning, his eye, like the eye bags under his eyes are just like full of wine.
Yeah, they are. You could squeeze him out if you ran your hands down his body and like wine would drip out of his pores.
Yeah, he's a sponge.
He goes like into log mode when he sleeps too. Like I feel like he's the kind of guy that just sleeps with his hands down by his side, like on his stomach with his face down. Like he's just like, yeah, which is, he's like logging
apparently
out.
Like the worst way to sleep.
Yeah,
my chiropractor told me it's like the worst place, the worst way to sleep.
Don't sleep on your stomach.
Is on your stomach.
Yeah,
yeah, which I do sometimes.
I think I do in like the mornings, but not a lot.
Yeah, it's like a cuddle nap sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Like cuddle in the morning with your pillows.
With your pillows, you go Joe Giudice style.
Yeah,
but that's his 24/7 sleep journey.
Teresa's like Joe, we gotta go, and she's like careful not to make a noise. And he's like, and he's like refusing to get out of bed. She's like dripping. Her water has broke. Like,
she's crying.
Ready to go.
And then she just like is checking emails, and Gabriella descends. Gabriella's ready to like eat the placenta.
Yeah, Gabriella's like, the baby must be eaten as soon as it comes out.
She's like, fresh blood. Like, she's on a mission to try and eat an infant.
She's fulfilling some prophecy we don't know about.
Yeah, she's on her own completely separate journey from everyone else on the show.
So, like, Carlo Rossi Joe, like, picks up the car seat for the baby on the way home and, like, gets Teresa in their giant SUV and they just drive off to the nearest hospital.
And Joe's jorts, I just made
I know.
Like, those jorts are not okay.
Also, Joe is not awake. Like,
also,
Joe
doesn't care. He's very disengaged from this entire process, and it made me really uncomfortable.
Teresa's wearing full makeup, too, when they get to her, like, baby suite in the hospital, which, how are they paying for any of this? I don't even know. But
well, they don't have any furniture in their house, I noticed. When they were, like, getting ready, I was like, wait, they don't have furniture in their mausoleum.
Oh, that's
house.
True.
And so they're saving a lot of money by not having furniture.
Yeah. Also, I was thinking, like, no wonder Teresa's, like, so anxious to get out of there, because, like, she's worried that the baby's first sight will be those doors that they have. Which are truly the gates of hell by Rodin.
Their front door.
Yeah, they're like, they're these giant, it's like Game of Thrones, like Cersei shit.
It's like two big, huge wooden doors, right?
No, they're like, I think it's like black steel doors or something. It's so weird. Their handles are like that of like eagle wings or something. It's very strange. Teresa gets ready to go, and then we cut to the brownstone. And Chris Manzo wants to talk to his dad about his, like, stripper car wash.
Yeah, he has a business
dream.
Plan. Mm-hmm. And there's one point where, like, he's sitting in the office of the Brownstone. And I was like, oh, the Brownstone's actually nice. And then it pans up and there's, like, popcorn, like, church things.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, no.
Also, they're like, we're going to bring in his dad, Albert Manzo. Is like, we're going to bring in my friend Ricky. He's going to talk to you. And then you see him just like basically like press a button and a car wash man appears.
Also, the car wash is clearly where they're laundering money.
For sure. And Teresa, Caroline's like, he's a good guy. We're friends with him. It's like, what? You just like Can On Hand just pull up a guy who owns a car wash?
Yeah, that's sketchy.
Yeah, and then he's sitting there like with his hands like twiddling his thumbs while Chris talks. He's truly Corleone.
Yeah, there's no way like anyone that owns a car wash is going to let just like this idiot, Chris Manzo, take over for the day with like a wild idea.
I know.
Like that's a small business owner.
And I just, it's like he has a mafia phone where he just like dials a button and some, like the head of, you know, waste management appears, or like the head of, you know, electricity and PSE&G appears. Like he has like a Teamster phone or something.
Yeah.
But they also like, they exalt their kids to a degree. Like every kid thinks their kid is perfect. Every parent thinks their kid is perfect, but they like, I don't know, the family, like at one point Chris is like, or Alvy's like, Chris can do anything he wants. He's the new Sinatra.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's a wow for me, dog. Like,
also, he does this thing that I hate where he calls Chris that kid. I hate when people are like, that kid, people they know. Also, when you're a young person and you do that, it's very strange.
I love that kid. It's like what?
My ex-boyfriend would call me, like, kid sometimes, and I was just like, are you fucking out of your mind?
No.
Like, stop.
That's 5150.
Yeah. Anyone that uses the term that kid and they're younger than 59 years old, I'm dialing Cedars.
Hey, kid.
Hey, kid.
Hey, kid.
The only person that can use that kid is Melania.
Yeah. Hey.
Hey. Where's that kid? That kid come Where's out of your puss yet?
She's talking to the babysitter, and they're all like eating breakfast while Greece at the hospital, and he's like, yo, when's that kid coming out of mom's pussy? He better come out soon. Mom's got to get home to take me to get my tap shoes.
I got to go shopping later.
I got to go to the mall later.
I'm going to go back Mom's to the store, get some more clothes. I feel like I didn't get enough last time.
No, not enough at all. And if she's not back yet by 5 p.m., I'm going down to the hospital and dragging her out.
Yeah, I'll match down myself. Hair. Drag her out of that sweep by her hair. She doesn't need to be there for more than one day. It's inappropriate.
She should get this down by down pat by now. Fourth kid.
Fourth kid, it should just fall out of there. Am I right? Hey!
Am I right about that? Gabrielle's just like wide-eyed, like looking at her.
Hey!
The babysitter is just like completely scandalized.
Gia's like scrubbing the floor. Mamma mia. Yeah.
Oh, no. Oh, I gotta get the tomato sauce off the floor for the baby.
She's
no
sweating.
Baby come home. If the baby comes home and there's red sauce on the floor, the house will be cursed for 50 years.
Shut up with that bullshit, Melania says. That's some witchcraft shit. I don't believe in that. You shouldn't either.
Oh my god, I was reading a book called Witch recently, and it outlined all different kinds of witches, and there's an Italian witch that's known as Stregaria. It's like Stregonona, but it's Stregaria or something, and that's totally Gia.
Like a like an Italian mountain witch.
Yeah, a total Italian kitchen witch.
Whoa, Stregaria. I'm going to have to do some research later. If anyone has any experience with Southern European witchcraft, let us know.
Italian witches, yay or nay. Email sexyuniquepodcast@gmail.com.
Hey, wipe off that shit from the floor.
Get that cleaned up. We got to go soon.
We'll put you out back
with the dogs.
I got to put you up back with the dogs, Gabriella. Gabriella runs scream.
No. Stay away from me.
She just like holds a knife up to Melania and her face like morphs into like a demonic like expression. Melania's like, hey, 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 I was just taking the piss out of you. I was taking the piss.
Look at this one. She thinks I'm serious.
So sensitive.
So Danielle takes Christine and Jilly to her like favorite diner, which apparently she goes to all the time. And she sits down and she's like, yeah, how you doing? Like, she knows the waiter really well.
She loves a diner. The Danielle's favorite restaurants are diners. She goes, I have two fabulous daughters, and I'm happy to be here to discuss her career. And I'm like, what career?
Danielle and Christine order chicken salads, and Jilly orders gnocchi.
I love Jilly so much. Jilly's face.
I do too.
Jilly is my obsession. She's the only one who really understands what's going on in this show.
She's a true loller.
She is a loller. And like, she's always like making fun of her older sister, like trolling so hard. And like,
and trolling Danielle.
Yeah, she lives to troll, and I'm here for it.
Danielle's like, I spoke to Ivan Bart. He called me. And he's saying that, you know, it's just one part of your career and that we have to look forward to the next chapter.
And Christine is like launches into this whole monologue where I think she's kind of just trying to say, like, I don't want to do modeling, Mom, but like still can't spit it out because she doesn't want to like crush she doesn't want to go through the horror that Danielle will put her through once she's shared her non-passion in modeling. And she ends her like monologue, she goes, I guess the industry just isn't ready for me. And then Jilly goes, yeah, you're not ready for it.
Reed! She dragged her to hell.
She dragged her right to hell, where Gabrielle
and Danielle doesn't. Danielle's like, damn, that's good. Like, she was like, that's... Danielle did not like correct her. She was just kind of like, she's right.
Yeah.
But you can also tell that Danielle was so happy to tell Christine that her career is in jeopardy.
Yeah.
Because Danielle loves she didn't eat enough.
Gear up just to watch her fall.
Yeah. Also, like, I don't think her career should be threatened because she like didn't eat enough and got like sick. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, I think that I feel like when you, in that situation where it's like you're hired to walk in the show and then stand there, you kind of, it's on you a little bit to make sure that you can do what it
takes
so that you can stand there. Even though it's like unfair for a minor to have to do that, someone should have been like, okay, make sure to eat. Like, how do you feel? Like, kind of given her a lay of the land a little bit. But I'm sure with a camera crew there, and then you have Danielle as a mom, just like taking care of yourself is the last thing on your mind.
I know. But I love that Danielle she goes, hello, back to earth. She goes, we got to support each other. We're a family. And you two as sisters always have to support each other. And then later she definitely bought Jilly like a Frappuccino at Starbucks for shading Christine.
She's like, Jilly, you're smart. You know exactly what's going on. You're next.
You're next. Also, okay, so we cut to Teresa. She's on the phone with
Joe. She's rolling calls.
So Teresa, she's on the phone with her brother Joe, who's in the next season. And they're like flirting. It's like weird.
Yeah.
They have like a very weird relationship. I'm sorry. As people come to know, they're like...
Their relationship is like oddly charged with misplaced sibling passion.
Yeah. But Teresa's so adorable. She has like her little flip phone out and she's just calling everyone in her phone book.
she has
the Yellow Pages out.
Yeah. I love a razor. I really want one when they get re-released.
I do too.
Like, razors were incredible.
They were everything. I had a razor till like the very end.
Mm-hmm. Razor or bust.
So at one point you hear Teresa go, Elvira, it's Teresa. I'm at the hospital.
She's like, my Chucky? I tried to shave it.
Oh, yeah. She calls Gina. And Gina's, of course, asking her about, like, her Chuckarella.
I don't get, Dina's obsession with that is, like...
It's really strange.
She has some sort of, like, trauma around vaginas. Because it comes up later in the episode where she, like, mentions... She's like, the baby just looks like it came out and didn't even have to go through the trauma of being born through a birth canal and vagina. And it's like, what? That's not, like, trauma. That's how babies are born.
Yeah, she's like, you never know. She was just squeezed out of Teresa's birth canal. I'm like, ew. Why are you saying it like that?
You've got to work with Jen, the wellness coach, to like get you to a place of like peace and vagina love.
She basically was like, you never know, she was just squeezed out of Teresa's birth hole. I was like,
going through all that vagina kind of trauma.
It's so strange. Teresa has one, has a road, at one point she has a razor phone in one hand and a rotary phone in the other.
She's old Hollywood.
She is.
Making deals. Then Joe comes in.
Mm-hmm.
And I love her, like, negotiating for presents pre-birth. Like, trying to get him to, like, give her something, like jewelry. And then it shows her getting an epidural, which was, it was serious.
It kind of reminded me, you know, in The Exorcist, where Reagan goes to get all the epidural stuff?
Yeah.
It kind of reminded me of that.
It was very Exorcist adjacent.
And she's going,
and then Joe makes a blood diamond joke.
I know.
It was like, Joe, that's the only thing that came out of his mouth. He was like, I get you jewelry, go down to Africa, they have good diamonds there.
He goes, but like, I might die trying to find it. I was like, okay, casual colonial, like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Good one.
Good one, Joe.
Good one, Joe.
And Teresa's just like in so... I felt really bad for her. She was...
It looks painful.
I know. She's
like, I feel like if Teresa's crying, you know it's actually really painful because I think she has a high threshold.
Oh, she totally does. It's just like, I mean, it's crazy. Like, I just... Birth is so, like, it's incredible, but it's terrifying.
Well, it's weird that they showed... They just gave you sound bites of her birth with just a shot of the door. Like, that seemed not... I'd rather have not had that because it made it seem more, like, scary than it actually was. I wish they had just, like, blurred out between her legs and, like, we could watch her give birth.
Yeah, so you just hear her going,
It's, like, truly, it is the last scene of The Exorcist.
And then when the baby comes out, she goes, oh, I love you. Oh, my God, I love you. She goes, what is it? And the nurse goes, it's a girl. And she goes, oh, God, I love you. Oh, it was
Joe
cute.
Goes, I hope I don't throw up that hamburger. God, Joe.
Can you imagine giving birth and Joe is like holding your hand?
If your man is like being like, good, I hope I don't throw up, I'd be like, I'm gonna fucking kill you. Like, yeah, I'd be like, get out, get away,
get out
now.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Have you ever experienced a dry, itchy scalp? Or ever wondered why your color isn't lasting as long as your hairdresser promised? Well, unfiltered, mineral-filled water could be the reason why. Did you know hard water is a leading cause of damaged hair and dry, irritated skin? And that about 85% of the United States uses hard water filled with dissolved minerals and added chlorine? That's where Canopy's new filtered showerhead comes in. Canopy, known for their beauty hacks and reimagined humidifier, has revolutionized the filtered showerhead. Dermatologists recommended this unique three-stage filtration system greatly reduces contaminants and odors in your shower water, leaving you with healthy hair and glowing skin. Best of all, the Canopy filtered showerhead is hassle-free. Installation is a breeze, and its unique quick-release filter replacement feature allows for seamless filter replacement, unlike any others on the market. Go to getcanopy.co to save $25 on your Canopy filtered showerhead purchase today with Canopy's hassle-free filter subscription. Even better, our listeners can use the code SEXYUNIQUE at checkout to save an additional 10% off their Canopy purchase. Hurry, your hair and skin will thank you.
Then we cut to Jacqueline and fucking Beanie Ashley walks in, you know, Beanie first.
Purple Beanie. To apologize
to Jacqueline for their like last fight that they had.
And Jacqueline wants Ashley to see a life coach. And yeah. Ashley is like, no, bitch. Also, I think Ashley's... I kind of have respect for Ashley because I'm like, okay, let's put this in perspective. My mom, like, I was raised in Vegas, a strike against me there. My mom remarried to some, like, mafia guy and started a new family and is, like, such a bitch. And now I don't want to live with her anymore. And I'm moving out to, like, crash on the couch. And then every time I come over, my mom is saying some stupid shit to me. Like, wants me to see a life coach or is telling me, like, I shouldn't drive drunk. And, like, I kind of got Ashley's perspective of how over it she is in this moment. And also, yeah, like, how stoned she must be.
And, oh, she's so high.
She's blunted out.
Yeah, that or, like, on pills or something.
She's not sober.
No. She's like, and then she's like, at one point, Jacqueline's like, well, what's your plan?
And she goes, plan.
She's like, I have a plan. I'm going to take a semester off and maybe do waitressing and then go to community college for 2 semesters. And then Jacqueline goes, what do you want to study? And she goes, fashion merchandising to music industry manager to zoology. I mean, it's like all over the place. And she starts cracking up at herself.
Yeah, she's so stoned. She's just like literally just like spit it, like just saying things.
She's like fucking, she's like narcoed out, just like, yeah, on like just flailing and like just laughing at herself and just being like, whoa, like I want to be a zoologist.
Fashion merchandising, waitressing, zoology. I have a plan.
Music industry talent manager. And you just cut to Jacqueline, who's holding the baby, and she's just like, oh my god, you're stoned. Like, Jacqueline knows.
Yeah, Jacqueline knows, and I feel like she told Ashley, she was like, you need to stop getting stoned before we film. Do you promise you won't be stoned anymore on camera? And Ashley's like, yeah, shut up. And then Ashley trolls her by showing up high as balls every time they're, yeah, supposed to film, and Jacqueline can't say anything. And it's Ashley's revenge.
I also love how Jacqueline goes, I have a friend who has a friend who's a life coach. She brings that up so, later.
A stranger.
Yeah.
So no friends. Just like, I know, I don't, there is a stranger out there who is a life coach.
And then Ashley goes, you know, I think paying someone to talk to them is a waste of time. And I was like, damn. Paying someone to talk about yourself is a waste of time.
Yeah. Like, that's a hard, okay, outlook to have as like a 20-year-old. Yeah. As an 18-year-old. I get why an 18-year-old would say that.
Yeah, I do too.
But guess what? I'll bet Ashley's paying lots of people to talk about herself now.
Mm-hmm. Someone who, on the opposite end of like intact family, we go to, so Chris Manzo, it goes to Scores in New York City, which is like one of the most famous strip clubs there. Gentlemen's Club.
That's like the Hustlers Club, kind of.
Yeah. Also, fun fact, I think Danielle did a stripping residency there.
She did when she got famous, didn't she?
Or I think she did, like, when she was... No, I think, like, after the show, after she was asked to... Or she got fired from the show.
I remember her stripping career.
Yeah.
Was weird. It reminded me of, like, Octomom's porn.
Mm-hmm.
Did Octomom do porn or she stripped?
No, I think she did porn. Danielle did a sex tape.
Oh, she did, didn't she? Was the sex, yeah, tape... It gets darker and darker. I can't keep track, but then it's like if you have a question if Danielle did something, the answer is yes.
I skimmed through it. Just
how was it? Who was she fucking?
that guy from that Teresa says she that like Teresa and Joe Giudice's friend that she was like fucking
during
in the first season. Remember that like redhead guy that she like is in love with, but he's like, I'm not dating you. And Teresa, well, when Teresa flips her table, she goes, coming to my Shaw house. It's because Danielle used their Shaw house to give her their friend blowjobs.
Oh, okay. So then she made a sex tape with that guy.
Uh-huh. And you see her house. It's like in her house that you see on the show. It's yeah.
Wait, was it like an it's amateur like sex tape, or was it like she hired a crew to film them having sex?
No, he's filming. It's like the guy filming her.
It's like male perspective, like blowjob. Like,
yeah.
Oh, I can't. She's like a spider woman.
I know.
It's like a black widow.
I think it's like in their bathroom too. Her like no, you know the bathroom.
No, her green bathroom with the stained glass mirror.
I know.
Stop.
Yeah. Listen, she had to do what she had to do.
Wow. Props. Danielle does have a lot of hustle in her. I will give her that. And she's lived a life. And she's been engaged 19 times. So she clearly knows a lot of things that we don't know.
She's seen things and she gets it done and she does what she has to do.
Live.
So Chris goes to meet the manager of Scores to talk about like, so first he meets a guy who owns a car wash. Now he's meeting a guy who runs a strip club and he's just getting the lay of the land. And he does like kind of a shadow day. And the manager is like, do I look like I run a strip club? And Chris is like, no. And he's like, that's right. I run a gentleman's club. And he just like leaves him on the floor.
Chris's like novel idea here is to bring hot women to wash cars.
Yeah.
Like, that's been done.
I know.
A million times.
Isn't that what, like, softball teams and, like, sports teams do? Like, it's all girls for, like, raising
and cheerleaders.
Money for... Yeah.
It's, like, a trope in pop culture that, like, hotties wash cars.
Yeah. And, like, they're all, like, it's so genius. Like, Caroline, they're like, I've never heard of this. It's so amazing.
And all the women are, like, wildly just whatever about it. Caroline's like, just don't make it trashy. Like.
Yeah.
And it's just, if Chris was charming enough to carry kind of this simple life-esque plot line throughout this episode, it would be one thing. But I'm just like, this is like a worm.
Mm-hmm.
Just like worming around. Get me back to the people that matter.
And then Albie comes with his friends. So like, it's like, can you go anywhere without each other? Like,
yeah. And it's also can you get laid without a camera around? No.
Yeah. I know. It's also like, I was watching with my boyfriend and he was like, he's like, when men go to strip club, they just go to like sit in chairs together while getting lap dances. He's like, he basically was like, it seems really gay.
It's gay. And also it's like, I was watching how the girls like sit on their lap and I was like, God, being a stripper, I think I'm sure it has like a lot of dark sides, but I feel like it could be really fun. You basically get paid to pretend like you actually like a guy for five minutes. You sit on their lap.
You make a ton of money.
Oh my God. You like ask them a question about their shirt and then you like mess with their hair and you're like, hey, sugar. And then they like pay you $500.
I know.
I'm like, these men are losers. You basically are making like losers feel like fuckable for 2 minutes.
Yeah. And you just like walk off.
Then you're like, bye. See you next time.
Bye, handsome man. And then you just like leave and go like do your own thing and like spend your money.
You pay your rent and go shopping.
Yeah.
Get your hair done and like, or save money. Do whatever you want, basically. And for literally 2 minutes of being like, oh my God, you're so cute. Where'd you get those shoes?
It's a wonderful thing.
It is a wonderful thing. I'm happy for those women. I hope that they got paid a pretty penny.
Me too. To hang with these losers.
To hang with these truly, like, maybe the biggest losers on the show. Like, I would rather hang with Danny, the psychopath, than, like, hang with Chris.
Oh, my God. Well... Well, okay, we'll talk about that. But first, Teresa,
we'll get there, yeah.
When Adriana comes out, she goes to Joe, "What do we name her?" And Joe goes, "I don't care." And Teresa goes, "Okay, we'll name her Adriana." And the nurse goes, "Okay, Adriana." And then Teresa goes, "Can I put beautiful things on her yet?"
I love that Teresa just has, like, she claimed that she didn't know what the sex was of the baby, but she brought all these bows to the hospital. Like a full-blown bonnet, like crocheted beanie with a huge bow on it.
At one point, she's wearing, like, a horse mane. Like a tuft of, like, horse hair. It's, like, very, like, Paimon. Like...
Totally. It's like a demonic Cabbage Patch Kid.
Yeah. But she's so cute. Adriana is like truly beautiful.
All the girls are so adorable. I
know.
I hated Joe in this whole birth journey.
I did too. He was such a fuck.
He was such a fuck. And I wrote down, I was like, is Joe just nervous on camera? Or like, what is the fucking deal? Like,
I don't care. Like, how dare you?
How very dare you?
Your wife just like was like straddling the line between life and death just now, and like you're just sitting there like leaking Merlot.
Yeah, sweating from your Merlot out of your eye bags, while Teresa literally sits in a full face of makeup, hair done, like
heels
wearing
on.
Heels like, on heels like on. Glammed up, giving birth. For the fourth time, she's fertile as fuck, just like popping babies out and taking care of biz. And then all you can do is be like, hope I don't throw up that hamburger.
Oh, like, I don't care. What do I need? I don't care. Why would I care about this?
I don't care.
Oh, okay.
Jesus, Joe. What the fuck, man?
And then we go to another questionable. Jacqueline and Teresa, or Jacqueline and Chris. Jacqueline brings two, like, goblets in to their furnished basement, and she wants to talk to Chris about Ashley.
Oh, my God. This scene, actually, I was like, no, and then rewound it multiple times because I truly could not believe what I was seeing. She's like,
"Well, Chris,
so
goes,
I saw Ashley today."
She's like, She's like, "I suggested a friend of a friend is a life," she says it again, "is a life coach, and I suggested that for her." And then Chris goes, I don't get a life coach, and I just got a beaten. He's like, "I just got beat. Why don't you just beat her?" And we cut to Dina, and Dina goes, "Yeah, you know, just a beaten. You know, I used to get a wooden spoon. Ever get hit with a wooden spoon? Bet you don't get in trouble anymore." I was like, Jesus Christ.
God, like,
this family.
You guys, things were really violent for you. Although I did get spanked with a wooden spoon growing up. So,
yeah,
I mean, I
got slapped once, I think, or spanked.
Yeah, but it was not like, I don't remember it hurting, but it was just like the terror of hearing the drawer open where I knew the spoon was located. Mm-hmm. And then like the look of the spoon was scary enough. But yeah, they're obsessed.
I was more of a soap
beating
on my toothbrush.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Beaten.
Just beat her. Do you ever get beat with a wooden spoon?
You ever get beaten? Dina, just cut to Dina. A wooden spoon will do. Wooden spoon will do just fine. You don't need life coaching. You ever get hit with a wooden spoon? You're not going to do anything again. Cuts back to them.
Then Chris shows Jacqueline his safe full of guns.
He has like a Ed Hardy like gun case with like
assault rifles. And like chromed out Glocks.
Glocks. And then
why
and
does
then,
he have a huge safe filled with guns?
And then Jacqueline puts it like a magazine, like Rambo magazine strap, like over her, full of bullets.
She goes, "I want to wear it."
It's here, like gleefully.
She goes, oh my God, I'm going to wear it. It's hot. And puts it on and is like kind of doing like a little like sexy dance for him. And he loves how much she loves it.
Loves that. Like they're saying, she like gets all like, she gets kind of like, ooh, like, you know, kind of absent-minded. And he's into that.
He loves it. He loves to like surprise her with whatever guns he recently put in his gun safe.
He also has a giant book called Godfather Family Album on the top of his gun case. Like, what?
What does that mean?
He's either like, I don't know. He's either like a tool and just like, oh, it's like mafia Italian, or he's like just legitimately in the mob and hiding in plain sight and doesn't give a shit.
I feel like it might be somewhere in between that. Like, I just don't know yeah. why you would have to have a safe full of guns. I mean, I guess some people just like love the look of a bunch of guns in a safe and would love to buy them and
yeah.
put them in there and take them out and look at them every once in a while. I don't relate, but
it's wild.
It's really wild. Then we
go back to Danielle.
Preakness restaurant.
Yeah.
And Danielle,
which I've Googled.
What is Preakness restaurant? It's another diner.
I think it's in Wayne. Hold on. It's in Wayne, New Jersey. Manny's Preakness Diner. Anyone who has any experience at the Preakness Diner, write in.
Yeah, have you been there? What do you think? Did you see Danielle there? Was she having a meeting? She meets.
Well,
with
she's having a meeting because she.
There's tragedy afoot, but I also yeah. am like,
husband,
is this real?
The Preakness, but so.
Oh wait, sorry. Start over. It kind of cut out.
Oh, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. So Danielle, the owner of the diner, has a brother whose his daughter is a baby and she has like really bad cancer, which is like really tragic, obviously. Yeah. And they're doing a benefit at the Brownstone and they like want Danielle to present a check or something.
They really want Danielle to be there.
I guess
amidst,
it's like a celebrity kind of.
Yeah. Amidst this like horrible tragedy that's befallen their baby daughter, the number one concern on their mind is how do we get Danielle Staub to the Brownstone?
Like here he is telling about his daughter who has this like, you know, rapidly spreading cancer. And then Danielle, as soon as he says the Brownstone, Danielle's face goes, like she's like. Not thinking of this baby anymore, and she's just thinking about Caroline. I don't know if Caroline would like me there, but I'll do it for this baby who has a cancer that's much bigger than her.
Yeah, that's also like not how you should talk about the cancer. But okay, so I just remember I was watching this and I was like, is this baby with cancer real? Like, or is this another like money laundering cover up?
I don't know.
I'm not trying to like be controversial or make waves, but I was just like, when the guys come and sit down and they're, it's like two kind of gangstery guys who come and sit down and mm-hmm. they're like, the type of tumor she has, it's an automoblastoma and it's baby cancer. It's baby cancer. That's what it is. And it's like, okay.
Yeah.
But like
they're all just like, oh, baby cancer. Yeah.
Yeah. And then
Danielle
goes,
what's going on here?
This has got to be extremely expensive.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I was just like...
She just loves, like...
expensive cancer.
Tragedy.
She loves
such
a tragedy.
A ghoul.
But also, I love that she's basically said in the last episode that she's really broke and has no money. And mm-hmm. then is trying to push her daughters into having careers as, like, child laborers. And then... these people
yeah.
come around and they're like, our baby has cancer. And she goes, I'm ready to donate a sizable amount. I'm ready to give you whatever
yeah.
you need. And I'm like, bitch, what are you talking about? What's the money sitch?
a sizable amount will do, and I'll be there to present it. I'm like, what? Well, so, and then we...
a so sizable then Dina, amount will do. It will.
It will do. And Dina, so Dina's, speaking of Danielle, Dina goes, she has Jacqueline and Caroline meet at Jacqueline's, and she discloses to them that, like, she talked to Zen Jen and she wants to go meet with Danielle and, like, discuss their drama.
Yeah.
And, like, put it to bed. And also, everything in Jacqueline's house was, like, designed by Francis Ford Coppola's Dracula. Like, it's just...
it's all dark.
It literally looks
and,
like
tapestries.
Mm-hmm. And Caroline goes, you called me from my house to sit here and talk about Danielle. Guess what? If I'd known that you were going to call me from my house to talk about Danielle, I would have gone back to my house. I was like, what are you talking about?
Caroline hates psychics, by the way, also.
I know.
She really, like, has a chip on her
what
shoulder.
What a fraud.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dina's like, you know, Zen Jen, who gave me the bracelet. And Caroline goes, oh, you mean these? And, like, held up her bracelet. And she's like, I don't think that she should be doing it for Zen Jen. I would like to see Dina do something for Dina, for herself.
And Dina goes, she was right about everything else. Like, she's so defensive about Zen Jen. And Caroline's, you keep that witch away from me. Like, clearly, Caroline had some, like, dark moment with a gypsy, like a psychic fortune teller a few years ago.
Seriously, and all I can think about during this scene, like seeing Caroline and Jacqueline sitting on that couch, is you telling me that they brawled once.
And now they're
just
like
watching the whole thing. Imagining, yeah, they're just sitting there, and like Jacqueline knows when to like pipe up and when to like be silent. And I was like imagining them,
you know,
physically brawling. Yeah. And I was dead.
You know that Jacqueline, like, can throw down.
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't want to fight her.
No way. So Caroline's basically like, Dina, you're on your own. And I like when Jacqueline goes, we don't even know what Danielle's real name is. And she goes, Beverly, Angela, Meryl, Staub.
Staub.
I love Meryl.
Meryl. Was that her name at one point?
Yeah, all these few things. Beverly was her name from Cop Without a Badge.
They called her Beverly in the book?
Yeah, that was like her, I think that was her modeling name.
Oh my God. I need to maybe rewatch season one because I really don't know enough facts.
We should just read the book.
Yeah, we should read the book.
Like, do like an episode where we just have like a book club about it.
Yeah, that's a great idea. I love the flashback to Danielle's voicemail where she goes, I have to be quite honest with you.
Jacqueline, I have to be honest with you. I was under the impression that you were your own woman.
I have to be quite honest with you.
I love Caroline going, yo, you mean this?
Oh, you mean this? With the bracelet? Like,
this
Caroline's
witchcraft?
Hatred. The struggleria.
We got one. We got one witch coming at us with Teresa's daughter, and then we got another one.
We got Gabrielle, it's enough keeping her under control. Now, you want us to go see Zen Jen bring Stregoria into this? I don't think so.
I don't think so. There's
if
two
I'd
things.
If I'd known you were calling me from my house to come here and talk about Danielle, I would have stayed in my house.
If there's two things Caroline hates, is leaving her house and Italian witches.
Italian witches.
Caroline heads over to see Christopher. Who is enacting his like hot girl at the car wash scheme, and he all these like very Jersey girls, like, I'm sorry to say, but they are like
so Jersey,
like true Jersey girls come over. One of them's like just wearing her underwear. The woman at the cashier at the car wash who like works there was like just she was like, I didn't come to work for this shit today.
I know, I felt really bad for her because it I was just too. Like she has to like put up with it and be like chill, but you can tell that she's just like uncomfortable with the whole thing.
Yeah. And they just start like this girl goes, goes come get a car wash. You know you want to. Come on, come get a car wash. You know you want to.
She kind of like struts out into the street, like one leg, and then pivots and is like, come get a car wash. And then all the girls are really in a place of woo about car washing.
It's like, I know.
They all go there and they're like, woo!
Total place of woo.
Total woo.
Total place of woo.
And then
I just love that. Come get a car wash. You know you want to.
You know you want to.
And they're just like whooping it up.
Come on.
Come on. Come get a car wash. You know you want to. There's an innocent bystander. It looks cold outside for their shenanigans.
Cold as fuck.
And there's an innocent bystander that's like lounging around wearing a Stop Genocide t-shirt.
I saw that.
I'm loving his message. Yeah, his message got into the show. He's just
some editor was like, I'm leaving that in.
Yeah, bless the editor that chose to leave that shot in. Stop Genocide, indeed.
I know, and a stripper car wash.
Also, I think Chris is definitely fucking that Bianca girl that approaches Caroline and Albert.
Totally, because she was like talking to them, like kind of trying to be a little demure.
Yeah, and like trying to meet them. Like, I feel like she hadn't met them yet, but was excited to meet them. And like, they've been fucking for a while, and now is like her chance to make a good impression. And I was like,
great impression.
Bianca, give it up, honey. It ain't
Caroline's in the front. She's in the passenger seat. And you just hear her. You don't even see her, but you hear her going like, how are you? Albert's like, oh, hey, what's going on here? And she's like, nice to meet you both. And Caroline's like, nice to meet you too. And she goes, you cold?
Caroline is no nonsense. She's not having Bianca. Her Chris with a car wash girl?
No.
No,
but like, again, they come to check on it. I'm like, can you just let him do his job? Like, can he be separate from his family at any time? Like, they're really so like on top of each other.
Yeah, it's a lot.
And then you hear Caroline go on her interview. She goes, everyone's always saying, oh, stripper and car wash this, stripper and car wash. I'm like, is that like a thing? Like, she's like, everyone always says a stripper and a car wash, they can't be put together. I'm like, no, Caroline, this is, it's never been said before.
No one is saying that. Literally, they go together organically.
Yeah.
Tits and car wash.
And Ricky, the car wash guy, comes from his like lunch break, and Chris has gotten all this business in, and you can tell Ricky's so uncomfortable.
But also like kind of turned on. And as soon as Ricky turns in, all the girls go, woo!
Yeah. Woo!
Woo! Get a car wash. You know you want to.
Come on. Get a car wash. You know you want to.
I need you in drag as one of the car wash girls.
Woo!
Woo!
Who knows? Maybe you'll see it.
Maybe.
Maybe you'll all see it.
You at Scores. From Scores to the car wash.
Carrie moved back to the East Coast.
You as Bianca going, nice to meet you both.
Come on. Come to the car wash. You know you want to.
I'm going to put that on a shirt.
You need to.
You know you want to.
You know you want to.
Hi, how you doing? So nice to finally meet you both.
Nice to meet you both. That was awesome.
We're
going to
go Wawa later, so maybe we'll bring over some to the house and we'll all like eat lunch together.
And Caroline's like, no.
She's like, get away from me, skank.
So then Danielle goes to see her friend Danny at his like terrifying white supremacist Coke manor.
Why does he have a mansion?
I don't know, but his house is terrifying. It probably smells like whiskey and like fireplace.
Yeah. And he just like blows rails and then wears like sleeveless t-shirts all the time.
Danielle goes, I think Danny's an old friend of mine. I think our common grounds comes from both being arrested.
Danielle kicks things up 20,000 notches by bringing Danny into the mix.
She goes, Danny knows a lot of people who, well, let's just say I'd leave it up for him to explain. I'm like, Jesus Christ.
Danny's a convicted felon.
Yeah, Danny's like, she's like, Danny's done a hard time. He was away for 4 years. I'm like, oh my God.
He had a hard time in prison. He like...
She loves it.
She loves it, but I think Danny like really went through it in prison.
Yeah. He's not the same.
He's definitely not the same.
He has like this like huge guy just hanging with him who's like very serious.
They're not like cut out to be on a reality show.
No.
Yeah, I mean they are great TV, but also it's like Danny, you're probably on like probation of some sort or have a parole officer to like report to. I don't think you want to be portrayed on national television as like a muscle side guy to like fuck with another family. Like No, he is.
We come to know this in the next episode. Kim G, he tells Kim G that he can drink in 6 days. Also, as one of our amazing readers of this series said that Danny was in a movie. He directed a movie with like someone from The Sopranos.
Yeah, he had a lot of people from The Sopranos in his movie, which we have to watch.
So he clearly knows people.
He's connected.
At one point he goes, we knew we'd eventually get to this point. I'm like, what?
What point?
Danielle wants Danny to escort her to the Brownstone event.
Yeah,
and he goes, we knew we'd eventually get to this point. I'm like, what fucking journey are you two on together? Do they just like blow coke and like
threaten people's lives?
We knew we'd eventually get to this point. He's like wringing his hands.
He looks really intense about the whole thing. Like he's going to go commit murder somewhere. And then Danielle goes, when Danny comes around, people better be listening.
Danny can speak without words.
He can speak without words. Okay.
So strange.
Like, with a knife? What are you talking about? Also, this is a baby. This is a fundraiser for a baby that's dying of cancer. Like, I don't think anyone's trying to kill you here, Danielle.
Danielle's like, let's just remember what this is about. And they both go, yep, mm-hmm. This is about a baby who's battling something. They're like, yep, absolutely. Danny, we knew we'd eventually get to this point.
What? Danny has the wildest energy that's like off the wall. Like he's like always like wide eyes. Like you can see the whites of his eyes at all times. He's ready for a brawl. It's crazy.
To switch from that darkness back to like the sweet birth of Adriana. Teresa's just hanging with Adriana and Dina comes to visit her. And this is when she's like, you never know. She was just squeezed out of Teresa's birth canal.
Went through all like, that kind of trauma to get out of her chakarella. I think she calls it a chakarella.
Yeah, she does.
What
she comes in with like, but Teresa makes her Adriana's godmother, and it's actually really sweet.
It is sweet.
I like tear up a little.
Yeah, and Dina is really emotional about the whole thing too.
Because Teresa goes like, you know, in Italy, it's like you want your godmother is who you want your kid to resemble them or be like, and I want my daughter to be like you.
Aww.
And I was like, that's really, and they're like still really close. So
oh, I love that. They still talk. They're not like,
oh yeah.
Oh, good. Oh, Caroline and Dina are estranged.
Uh-huh.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I get it.
And then Caroline hears that Danielle's coming to the Brownstone. And she's like, Albert's like, guess who's coming to the Brownstone? Because he already knows, of course.
Yeah, he was your best
Danielle.
Friend.
Caroline goes, I told her she was garbage like I have in the past, and I'll do it again.
Also, Caroline is really pulling rank with like a low-cut t-shirt and her big tits.
I know. She has like...
She's trying to show Albert Sr. who's boss, and it's mm-hmm. working.
She's like, I feel like she's a little threatened of Danielle.
Yeah, so she's trying to up her own like sex appeal.
Uh-huh. They're she's having, like, I won't like, be
a,
there.
A sex off. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I love that. I'll tell her she's garbage like I have in the past. I'll do it again. You put lipstick on a pig, it's still a pig.
Still a pig. You hang out with garbage, you start to stink.
Well, this is all leading up to the next episode, which is, you know, obviously one of the most historic Housewives episodes of all time.
Truly. The big confrontation where Dani is the human definition of a wild card. No one knows what he could pull. I also love... What does he say? He goes, a punk is a punk is a punk is a punk, and the manzos...
And I guess those, the manzos are punks.
Punks. He goes, you want to start... He was like, what does he say? He's like, you want to start something?
We'll bring something.
Yeah.
Don't start something if you don't want to bring something, or some, like, shit.
He's truly, like, anything could happen.
For sure.
Also, I love that Caroline's like, oh, you're talking about Danielle found God? Danielle, love and light?
Oh, yeah. Danielle found God? Just like Zen Jen with these bracelets.
Just like another, but we need another Stregaria up in the mix.
Well,
the journey continues.
This was like, you know, a strange kind of quiet episode, but a lot is to come, so we're ready to go. We'll be in full form for next week's recap, which is, you know, just get ready for anyone who hasn't seen this episode.
It's,
I want you to prepare yourselves.
Magic, honestly.
I want you to pray to Stregaria.
Go to your local Stregaria and ask her to put a protection spell on you, because you're gonna need it after you see Danny's wild eyes.
Buckle the fuck up.
Buckle the fuck up. Thank you for being co-host on this journey, my Italian stallion.
Your Stregaria sister.
My Stregaria sister, Carrie O'Donnell.
You can find me at eCario.
And you can find me at Lars Marie. And if you want a bonus episode, you can find that at patreon.com/sexyuniquepodcast. And write us in. We talk a lot about, we get a lot of good Jersey goss.
Jersey goss.
Jersey. Jersey gossip. We have a lot to
go over. Any experiences, or if anyone's ever been to the Preakness Diner, write in and let us know.
Or have you met Dani and had an experience with Dani? Let us know.
Someone does.
I know there has to be someone out there that knows Dani quite well. I have to be quite,
quite
honest
well.
With you. I know him
quite
well.
I have to
well.
Be quite honest. Well, thank you for having me again.
We'll see you next week.
Love and light.
Love and light. Have you ever experienced a dry, itchy scalp, or ever wondered why your color isn't lasting as long as your hairdresser promised? Well, unfiltered, mineral-filled water could be the reason why. Did you know hard water is a leading cause of damaged hair and dry, irritated skin? And that about 85% of the United States uses hard water filled with dissolved minerals and added chlorine? That's where Canopy's new filtered showerhead comes in. Canopy, known for their beauty hacks and reimagined humidifier, has revolutionized the filtered showerhead. Dermatologists recommended this unique three-stage filtration system greatly reduces contaminants and odors in your shower water, leaving you with healthy hair and glowing skin. Best of all, the Canopy filtered showerhead is hassle-free. Installation is a breeze, and its unique quick-release filter replacement feature allows for seamless filter replacement, unlike any others on the market. Go to getcanopy.co to save $25 on your Canopy filtered showerhead purchase today with Canopy's hassle-free filter subscription. Even better, our listeners can use the code SEXYUNIQUE at checkout to save an additional 10% off their Canopy purchase. Hurry, your hair and skin will thank you.